Okay. Alrighty.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Mashiach and Geula Shir. We've gone through the story in the previous class. We've gone through the story of the Eitz Hadas. Inner story of how there's where we get the clues of exactly what's the rectification that needs to be done, as we learned in the previous classes. Now we're going to go on into the next story that the Torah tells us. And as I mentioned in the earlier, once you start studying it from this perspective and looking for Mashiach in the Torah, you see that every pasuk and every aspect of the Torah is the unfolding story of the coming of Mashiach and the Mashiach to the world. So we go on to the next event that happens. Adam HaRishon is banished from Gan Eden. And the Pasuk says, Vayigarish es Adam, that Hashem banished Adam, and Vayishkoin, and then he put the Lat HaCherev HaMesapechas, these fiery whatever, swords, dragons, whatever, around the Gan Eden. But the punishment over here was vayigaresh es ha'adam, that man was chased away. So there's a very interesting idea over here. And what does it mean that vayigaresh es ha'adam? And that is that Adam was removed. The banishment of Adam aside, meaning taking him out of Gan Eden, in the earlier classes we learned that it meant that Adam was coarsened and therefore he couldn't live in that refined, intelligent world, and the world of Gilui HaElokus that was in Gan Eden. Another meaning is, and it's not really another meaning, it's the same idea, but just from a different angle. Vayigaresh es ha'adam was Hashem chased him away from being Adam. Adam ceased to be Adam. He's no more Adam. See, Adam is the crown jewel of creation, and he's meant to elevate, connect all of creation. See, the Eibishter creates a world, and Hashem wants that this world should be in a relationship with him, that this world should be a home for him, that he can express himself in this world and be one with his creations. But the most instrumental being, the one that plays the pivotal role in enabling this to happen, is Adam HaRishon. So the Pasuk says that Va'adam, before Hashem made Adam HaRishon, it says Va'adam Ayin, that there was no man. Like Va'adam Ayin, when there's no Adam, there's no man, La'avedes Adama, to work the land. What does it mean to work the land? To bring the Eibishter into the land. There is no Adam. And once Adam was created, Hashem, he's the man who was going to unify all of existence to Hashem. As we know, that when the moment Adam HaRishon was born, he stood up and he called out to all the creations, L'chu Neran and El Hashem, Boyu Nishtachaveh, come down and bow down. So he's the master of all of creation and connects everything to the world. And Be'ikr, he has to elevate the animal kingdom, and then, of course, the plants, and then ultimately even earth itself into a union with Hashem. And that was his, Hashem made him. Hashem, the Pasuk says, Vayirdu, you will rule, but Gasayam, over the fish, and over Cholchai Sasada. And that was his job. In Gan Eden, as it says, Hashem put Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden, La'avda L'shamra, to fulfill the mitzvahs, La'avda, to serve him, U'L'shamra, and to guard it. And it says, La'avda means through the positive commandments, so L'shamra means through the prohibitive commandments. And Be'ikr, the main mitzvah that Adam HaRishon was able to do at that time, would have been offering karbonis, which is the highest and deepest mitzvah. Offering, that's called serving the Eibishter. He would have offered karbanos. He would have lifted up the animal world. He would have elevated the animal world into kedusha, into a union with Hashem. When Adam HaRishon was banished from Gan Eden, this is what the Tzemach Tzedek says: Vayigaresh, Hashem chased him away from being considered Adam. So now he's not Adam. He cannot elevate the animal anymore. Really, man is working, meaning meaning the purpose of mitzvahs has changed. We say in davening on Yom Tov, we say, rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And when you rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, v'sham nasa lefanecha, and over there we will do before you, k'mitzvahs ritzaynecha, according to the mitzvah of your will. And what does it mean? Now, it's almost seeming to imply that the Torah mitzvahs that we're doing now is not k'mitzvahs ritzaynecha. It's not like your will. What is really the difference? In terms of tefillin, we put on the same tefillin. Esrog and Elulav, we shake the same Esrog and Elulav. What aspect of Yiddishkeit has dramatically changed? It's the aspect of karbonis. When we had the Beis HaMikdash, we were able to bring karbonis. When the Beis HaMikdash is going to be restored, Bezos Hashem, very soon, the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, so then as well, we're going to be able to bring karbonis. But now, we can't bring karbonis. We have a substitution. What's the substitution? Davening. Tefillah b'makom karbonis. So it says that davening is only a very weak substitution for karbanos. What's first of all the connection? Why is davening similar to karbanos? Because the main point of davening is that a person should elevate his nefesh habahamas. Davening is a time of contemplation, it's a time of meditation, in which we're supposed to bring a higher consciousness of our neshama, of our soul, and bring it into our ordinary animal self. The part of the human being, the animalistic drive within the human being that is generally just focused on oneself. So we're supposed to take that dark space and illuminate it with the godly awareness of Hashem. And that's why it's similar to karbanos, because a karban, you're taking an animal, where the animal is also living in a space in which it's not aware, connected to, and serving its creator. When you're taking the animal and you're elevating the animal into the Eibishter, and you're consuming the animal into godliness, into the fire on the Mizbeach, so the Eibishter permeates the space of the animal, and the animal is integrated into Elokus. So l'chayre, we would argue, we would think that, a karban, when a person brings a karban, when a person davens, davening is superior, because here you're influencing the animal inside of you, and this is the animal outside of you. But in truth, it says, the Tzemach Tzadik says, that that's not true. That the animal, the elevation of the animals that are outside of the human being, are the literal animals, is a greater elevation and is a greater accomplishment than the elevation of the human animal, one's own internal animal. And the reason for that is based on the general concept that the lower something is, the shayrish of it is higher. So even though we know that we possess within ourselves a nefesh habahamas, which our animal soul comes from, in Chassidus we always talk about Olam HaToyu, the world of chaos, in which the energy of Hashem was very powerful. The Oireis Merubim, we know that the world of Toyu was a very powerful world in comparison to the Olam HaTikun, which the energy has been dramatically reduced and limited. Toyu was very powerful, and therefore every time we're able to take something from Toyu and reconnect it to its source. The problem with Toyu is the Toyu has fallen down. It couldn't handle the light. So it fell down and it became disoriented and fragmented and disconnected. And generally it's fallen into negativity, into klipa, and sometimes even into the worst klipa. But we know that when we rectify something from the other side, something from klipa, the energy flow that causes is just immense, much, much, much higher than anything that we can draw down through the general tikkun channels. So we want to always integrate and elevate tayu diginyanim. But we know that the oireis to tayu are stronger in an animal than they are in the human animal, because the human animal is not as low as the animal. So what's the story? Today's days, the human being doesn't really have the kayach to rectify the animal. I guess we have to say, Tzemach Tzadik doesn't say this, but we have to say for a short period of time, the human being did manage to somehow rehabilitate himself enough to be able to elevate animals. And that was during the time when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. It was basically a short period from when the Torah was given until the Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed, with short intervals, interruption in between, that we weren't able to do that. But during that period, we were able to do that. And the reason for that is like this. The human being can only rectify the animal world only if the human being is called Adam. When he is Adam, which Adam is Adam al-Elyon, which means he is compared to the one above, he's reflecting Hashem. So then the human being in this very, very godly, powerfully godly conscious being is able to transmit that consciousness and that purity into the animal. If a person is offering a karban and he's thinking chas v'shalom about the good spare ribs that he's going to eat afterwards, He's going to eat the animal meat, and he's not elevating anything, because the person is in the state of disconnect and separate consciousness in the same way like the animal is. Just like we know that in essence, it says Chazal say, "Ama aretz aser lesser lechel basar," that an ama aretz is not allowed to eat meat. That only a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham over here doesn't mean someone who knows, knows how to learn a few blat gemara and say big lumdis. That's not what we mean a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham, in the true sense of the word, means someone who is a Talmud, someone who is a student of Chacham. Chacham is Zeshakana Chachma. Chacham means Chachma. Chachma is Koyachma. A person who is Bittul, someone who has a powerful sense of the divine, a powerful sense of Hashem's emes, and that's he's totally Bittul to Hashem. So when he or she is eating meat, then they're not eating it with selfish reasons. Then you're not elevating the animal. You can only impart your consciousness, whatever you are. So as long as Adam was called Adam, Hashem gave him mastery over the animals to elevate them into his consciousness and bring them into his union that he has with Hashem. And this would have gone on forever because the human being would have grown, being that we learned earlier, remember we were learning how Adam Arishan in Gan Eden would have had the capacity to grow and grow and grow infinitely higher in his understanding and his union with Hashem. And he would have been able to bring that consciousness and that bittul into the animals, constantly elevating them higher and higher, pulling up all of creation after him. But when the Adam became messed up in his own, and he became full of ego and disconnect and fragmented on his own, so he lost Vayigadish as Adam. Adam is no more Adam. So we went back to the state of Adam Ayin. There's no Adam to elevate creation. So what happened with the purpose of the world? The purpose of creation to be elevated through the mitzvahs, which primarily would have been the mitzvah of Karbanos, was put in suspension. It was suspended for a time period, pause. The world cannot, the tachlis of creation, for mankind to elevate all of the world, was put on pause. It's amazing. We haven't even begun the work that we were intended to do, because it was all put on pause until the human being will reconstruct himself and discover back the Adam inside of him, become back a mensch. He has to become back an Adam. And that's the point of his own mitzvahs. The mitzvahs that we do after Matan Torah, the mitzvahs that we do today until the days of Mashiach, is a lower form of mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah in which a human being is rectifying his own nefesh abahamis. He's trying to pull himself together so that he can repair himself and then he can repair others. As it says, k'shoit atzmecha, fix yourself first, v'achkach k'shoit acherim. So now we're just busy getting back to where we were when we were in a state, when we were the repairman and the fixer and the elevator of all of creation. For a short period of time, we attained that by Matan Torah. That's why Yidden were called Adam again. We got back that name of Adam when we received the Torah. And that's why we were able to have a Beis HaMikdash. We were able to be offering karbanos. Kemitzvas ritzoynecha, according to the Eibush, the Zeratzin, what Hashem wanted, that karbanos should come from the fallen sparks of Tayu that are embedded in the animal. And thereby we would have been able to, we would have had the ability for the ultimate shleimus of connecting the Eibush to the world and bringing down the Ein Sof, which you can only do that through the sparks of Tayu that you liberate from the animal. But it didn't last long, and the Gullahs came back again. And now we're again busy trying to just discover ourselves, get back to Adam, where Mashiach is going to come. And then the human being is finally going to attain back the level of Adam. As it says about Mashiach, it says, Hine yaskil avdi, my servant will be intelligent. Yarum is going to be exalted, v'nisav, and he's going to be elevated. V'gava ma'oid, he's going to become very, very great. So the word ma'oid, it's the same words as Adam. So Adam is going to restore himself. The human being is going to be back in the state of Ma'oid, which is Adam. And then, V'sham nasal lefanecha k'mitzvas ritzoynecha. We're going to be able to begin the process of elevating all the animals and bringing about k'mitzvas ritzoynecha to come back to that state. And that's the meaning of a yigaresh as Adam, that Adam was banished from being Adam. Now, the Torah continues, and the Pasuk says that after the story of the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, Adam had children, Vatar Vatela des Kayin. They gave birth to Kayin and then to Hevel. Interesting that the first birth recorded in the Torah was a perfect birth. It's interesting, even though the birth might have happened after the sin of the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, but, because the Torah describes it afterwards, but Adam and Chava have not yet fully been impacted by the effects of the sin until after they were banished, until after Shabbos. They sinned on Friday. They stayed in Gan Eden on Shabbos, and they were kicked out on Matzah Shabbos. So, and they had their child, they had already on Friday, as it says, the same day they were created, they had children. So therefore, the birth was characteristic of the ultimate state of birth. And that is a birth that happens instantly. Like it says, that when Mashiach comes, the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Asida isha sheteleid b'chol yayim, that a woman is going to give birth every day. The process of childbearing, which is a 9 months process, is part of the curse. But that will not be in the time. And it could be related to what we learned earlier, that the part of the process of childbirth, of pregnancy and childbirth, it's all an inyan of birur. It's an inyan of birur. Because there's a mixture of good and bad, the body selects the good and creates the embryo and creates the child. And the bad is rejected. It's a cleansing. It's a birur process that's happening within the mother's womb. When, before this, there was a mixture of tov and ra, just like the earth, we said, is going to give finished fruit, and there isn't going to be, and it's not going to be necessary to have a birur selection process, but everything's going to be ready to eat immediately. It's going to be instant goodness. So too, in childbirth, is going to be instant birth, because there isn't going to be a selection, a sifting process that is now processed in the mother's womb as she's sifting out the good from the bad in her creation of the child. And the better parts go in the brain, and then that's developed. But that will not be necessary, because everything is going to be directly in its place, because there isn't going to be any klippa, anything impure. So that's why they were born. That's what the Tashbeit says in Charles Achuvah's Tashbeit. He brings that the first birth was we needed an example to see that everything was messed up very quickly afterwards, but we need one example. And even not just Adam and Chav in their own lives experienced Mashiach's world, but even their birth into the next generation also had that quality in which they were Cain and Hevel were born from the pre-Eitz Hadaas state, even though their actual construction of their bodies was impacted very much by the sin of the Eitz Hadaas. And from here we go into the next story of the Torah, the story of the sin of Cain and Hevel, where Cain gets up and is jealous of his brother Hevel and he kills him. Now, that story is the first demonstration of the collapse of the human being, and of the human being, as we mentioned earlier, that needs tikkun, that needs to find the tikkun. And this is very much related to the 3 weeks which we are right now. We just had fast day 2 days ago, Shavasa B'Tamas, the onset of the 3 weeks, the onset of the Galus. And we know that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, because of baseless hatred. And the seeds of this baseless hatred began already with the first generation between the two brothers, where he was jealous of him, and it was really an inyan of Sinas Chinam. They were born already with an impure heart. Man has already tasted, because of the Eitz Hadaas Toivara, which the Eitz Hadaas Toivara brought, the inyan of Eitz Hadaas in general brought self-awareness. The inyan of Eitz HaChayim is, we're going to see soon, is the idea of, we spoke about it last week in the Shir as well, is the idea of Eitz HaChayim, meaning life. Life is Hashem. Eitz HaChayim is total bittul, total unification with Hashem, where there is no pirud, there's no separation whatsoever. And therefore, as we spoke last week, you're not even choosing to serve Hashem based on your das. Based on das means your feeling, your experience. It's not about you. The emes of the Eibishter is so evident and so powerfully felt that there's nothing there. There's no hergish atzmai. There's no feeling of self. As opposed to Eitz HaDas, you feel yourself and you feel the goodness and the greatness of Kedusha. So you choose good, and that's toiv. Or as you feel yourself, you're feeling ra. So now when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz HaDas, toiv ra, they had two children. And interesting, the mix of toiv and ra, Hevel in a sense is coming from the toiv element, the Eitz HaDas element of toiv. So he has, his connection to Hashem is through das, but it's the knowledge of Hashem, the toiv element of it. And Cain has the negative element, the ra element in him. He's full of self-awareness, self-consciousness, and therefore he's born with this deep greed and jealousy of his brother. Because whatever, when you feel yourself, there's no room for anything else. I am everything. And if you exist, you're occupying space that could have been mine. Now, it says an interesting thing. Obviously, that hatred led him to murder. So over here we have, just wanted to share something really amazing that I saw today, from the Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz. From Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz in a sefer Yaris Davash. So Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz says as follows, that we just had Shavasa B'Tammuz. Shavasa B'Tammuz is one of the fasts that we fast because of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and the onset of the Gullus. But we know that in the cycle of the year, the first fast that really relates to the Gullus is Asara B'Tevis, is the 10th day of Tevis, because when Nebuchadnezzar, who came, destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, surrounded Yerushalayim, laid siege on Yerushalayim on the 10th day of Tevis. Then it took him about 3 years until he was able to breach the walls in Shavasa B'Tammuz and finally destroy the Beis Hamikdash 3 weeks later on Tisha B'Av. But the onset is Asara B'Tevis. So Asara B'Tevis is really the beginning of the Gullus. So the Gullus of the Jewish people is really just a further fall and a further expression of the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. In other words, where mankind fell then. We find that the first person that it was decreed upon him, Gullus, is Kayin. Even though Adam HaRishon was banished from Gan Eden, so in that sense, it's a sense of Gullus. But it's different than the Gullus. The wandering element wasn't decreed upon Adam. Adam was able to settle down. But Kayin, after he killed Hevel, Hashem told him that you're going to be Nav Nod Tia Ba'aretz. You're going to be a Gullus Yid. You're going to go from place to place. You're not going to be able to stay in one place. As we know that the earth didn't let him settle. It just was trembling. Wherever he went, it was trembling beneath him. And he had to go from place to place. This is really what Gullus was. The Jewish people would never be able to plant themselves firmly in one place. We were always moving. We were always on the run. Now, he makes an incredible cheshbon, the Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz, in how the chet of Kayin killing Hevel, how that is the really the story of the Gullus, the sinas chinam, the hatred, which was introduced in the world as a result of the chet of the Eitz Hadas, which was in the generation, which happened in their parents, and their children were born with that. And therefore, he says, this sinah, this hatred, was planted into our psyche, and we haven't gotten rid of it, and as long as we still have it, and as long as we don't rectify it, that's holding back Mashiach, that's holding back the coming. And now we see, Baruch Hashem, we saw in the world the tremendous love that the Jewish people have shown in terms of the care from all segments of the Jewish community, from every segment, in terms of their care and their oneness. When the three boys were, Rahman al-Islam, killed, you saw that there was, and it's interesting, they called it, maybe, you never know, the Eibishter has things, they called it my brother's keeper. The first chait was that Kayin said to the Eibishter, am I my brother's keeper? So he meaning, he's my brother, he's not, I mean, am I charge of him? I'm not responsible for him. And here it was called my brother's keeper when they were searching for him, and every single Jew around the world identified and felt it. This was a tikkun, Hashem should help, on that sinas chinam and this great love and care, that we are our brother's keeper and we do care for each other. But he says over there, as long as this hatred is there, the snake is still around. Now we're cleaning out the snake. And as we spoke last week, could be this is the eradication of Hamas nochash, the venom of the snake. And we have to clean this out, and this comes after. This is just occurring to my mind. You never know. Big things are happening. And definitely the time of Gula has arrived, so these things might mean very, very, very big things. Anyways, he says like this. The Gemara, the Medrash tells us a fascinating Medrash in Bereishis, Medrash Rabbah, on the Pasuk. It says that, it talks about the age of when Hevel was killed. And he was a very young man when he was killed, Kayin and Hevel. They were born already like big children, you have to say that. Just like Adam and Chava were born as... Just like Adam and Chava were already mature adults when they were made, being that they were also physically at least processed in this quick processing, so they grew up very quickly. They were very young when this story happened. The Medrash says they weren't older than 50 days. Hevel was in this world not longer than 50 days. And it says like this. There's a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua when Hashem created the world. According to one opinion, the world was created in Tishrei. According to another opinion, the world was created in Nisan. Okay, we're of the opinion that the world was created in Tishrei. So it says like this: when Cain killed Hevel, it says Vehimi Kates Hayamim. It was at the end of days. Vayave Cain, and Cain brought a carbon to Hashem, and he brought it from cheap stuff, and then Hevel brought a carbon, and Hashem turned to Hevel's mincha, and he didn't turn to Cain. It says Miketz Hayamim. So what does it mean? It doesn't say when. The Torah gives you a, it's trying to tell you a time, but it doesn't tell you which time. So obviously the Torah figures out that you will understand what means Miketz Hayamim, after a period of days. So the Medrash says like this: if the world was created in Nisan, so then Cain and Hevel were born on Pesach. I don't understand exactly why. L'chayra, we would say that if the world was created in Nisan, we would think that the beginning of creation then, beginning of creation would have been, hold on one second. We would have thought that the beginning of creation would have been on, we would have thought that the beginning of creation would have been on Aleph Nisan, on the first day of Nisan, and then 6 days later, Vav Nisan, Adam would have been, or like we say on Tishrei, and we say in Tishrei that Hashem began the creation Chav Dalet Elul, and Chav Hei Elul, and then Adam and Rishon is created on Rosh Hashanah. So in Nisan we would make the same calculation. Maybe we would have started in Adar, and Adam would have been created Aleph Nisan. But for some reason, the Medrash says that no, that the children were born on Pesach. What's bothering me, which I don't understand, and it would be good to be able to figure this out, is that it says that the same day they were created, Adam and Chava, they already had their child. So they were not created on Pesach. They were created either on Aleph Tishrei or on Aleph Nisan. So I don't know. But this is what it says in the Medrash: that Adam and Chava, that Cain and Hevel were both born on, if the Torah was, again, if the world was created in Nisan, Cain and Hevel were born on Pesach. Okay? Now, it says, Miketz Hayamim, after the period of days. So how many days is that? So, it's the special days. What are the special days after Pesach? So you have the days of Sfira. So that after Sfiras was over, which is Shavuos, and it was at that time that Cain killed Hevel. Miketz Hayamim, after the days. Which is 50 days later. So that's what the Medrash says, that he did not live more than 50 days. That he was killed after those special days, which is the days of Sfira. The Medrash says, if the world was created in Tishrei, then Cain and Hevel were born on Sukkot, Bechag on Sukkot, same like equivalent to Pesach. Then, in that scenario, what means Miketz Hayamim, a stunning Medrash, Medrash in the Bereishis Rabbah, that it was after, it was on Hanukkah. Miketz Hayamim means in Hanukkah. And that's why, and according to everybody, Cain was not older than 50 days. So the Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz asked the question, and I see the Mefarshim and the Medrash Rabbah, the Matnes Kahuna, the other Mefarshim, the Eitz Yosef, all asked the question. They say, hold it. Hanukkah is not 50 days after Tishrei. Hanukkah is longer. It's about 70 days later. So they bring from Rashi that the Medrash is not Medayik, that really it's not Lav Dafka 50, it's 70. Let's make a cheshbon. Why? Because if they were born in Tishrei, they were born on the 15th day of Tishrei. So you have at least 15 days in Tishrei left over. Then you have the entire month of Cheshvan, which is 30. So 30 plus 15 is already 45. And then Hanukkah is the 24th day of Kislev. So 45 plus another 24, you're close already to 70 days. So the Cheshbon doesn't work. So the Rabbi Yonis Neibshitz says, I don't understand. How could the Medrash say it's 50 days that Cain was not here in this world more than 50 days? It was only, for sure, more. It's about 70 days. So then he goes and he gives a fascinating answer. And he says like this. There's a pasuk that says, that that it will be, and it was, or it will be, when he's talking about the days of Mashiach, that every month, Yaveh Kabasa L'shtachveis Lefanai, that all flesh is going to come bow down before me in the days of Mashiach on a monthly basis. Now we know that even when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, being that the Beis HaMikdash, our earlier Beit HaMikdash, were not the perfect Beis HaMikdash, our visits to Hashem was only three times a year, tri-yearly. Three times a year, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, we came to see Hashem. But he says, but on the Medrash, Vehimidei Chodesh B'chatzar, that every month we're going to come up to the Beis HaMikdash, there's going to be the Inyan of Ari Aliyah L'Regel monthly. And the Medrash goes on to say, when is that going to be? It says that every month has a Yomtiv. And it begins like this. It says, Nisan is Pesach. Iyar is Pesach Sheni. Sivan, Shavuos, that's the day of Aliyah L'Regel. Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz, which would have been the biggest Yomtiv because Moshe Rabbeinu was coming down with the Luchas. We messed it up, but we know it's going to be turned over to a Yomtiv. So the 17th of Tammuz is going to be the day we're going to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Av, Tisha B'Av, is going to be the day the Beis HaMikdash is going to be, is that we're going to have the big Yomtiv. By the way, I read yesterday in Telushkin's book, it was nice to read, that he says that the Rebbe writes a letter to his mother-in-law. The Rebbe writes, it was a letter that he wrote to Erev Tisha B'Av. So he writes, usually when a person writes Erev Tisha B'Av, he writes, you know, Erev Tisha B'Av, anything, Erev, the, you know, sad day. The Rebbe writes, the Erev, the day, the Yom Tisha B'Av, Yom Leidas Mashiach Tzidkenu, the birth of Mashiach. The Rebbe is so positive that he couldn't talk about Tisha B'Av in any other way but the birth of Mashiach. In any case, so of Tisha B'Av is the day of Elul, the Medrash says. It's interesting. In Elul, the Medrash says it's Rosh Hashanah. Even though Rosh Hashanah is the first day of Tishrei, it's still maybe Lamed Elul, which is belongs to Elul. I mean, from the Hasidic perspective, we'd say Chai Elul. But I guess the Medrash, that was not yet, it wasn't yet known in those days, the power of Chai Elul, but I'm not sure. But it says there that it's Aleph Tishrei, really, Aleph Tishrei, which is the Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, is an Elul Digan Yom Tov. Tishrei, the day would be Yom Kippur, and Cheshvan would be Sukkot. That Sukkot really is in Cheshvan. Let me just finish them. We'll get back in a minute. Kislev is Chanukah. Tevis is Asara B'Tevis. And Shvat is Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat. And Adar is Purim. So once a month, we'll go Oil Regal. What do you mean Sukkot is in Cheshvan? So the Medrash says that really, Sukkot was supposed to be 50 days after Tishrei. It was supposed to be in the month of Cheshvan. Sukkot is supposed to be in the month of Cheshvan, but not 50 days, it's supposed to be in the month of Cheshvan, but Hashem did not want to bother the Yidden to come up twice. Difficulties, it's hard, so therefore he put it together with the other Yom Tis, with Yom Kippur, Shoshana, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, he put it all together. So therefore, the Medrash says like this, V'ro achshav chagli is b'cheshvan, ki yisoyf asuf, because that's really the end of the gathering of the harvest season. Elo amen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'ritzisi la'atriach banai, she'yai le'le regel, to go up to be o'le regel. And they should have to go back during the rains. So therefore Hashem made it early, they shouldn't get caught in the rain. So if this is, and that's the way it's going to be when Mashiach comes. So if this is like this, so the days of Adam Arishan will say it was the same thing. So when it says that Adam, that Cain and Havel were born, and in Sukkot, it means in the month of Cheshvan. Now again, how does this fit with the late birth? And that still remains a question either way. Or that L'chaira, we said earlier that Cain and Havel were born the same day that they were, that Chava was, Adam and Chava were made. So I don't know. But in any case, he says, when it says in the Medrash it happened in Sukkot, it doesn't mean Sukkot in Tishrei, it means Sukkot in Cheshvan. According to that, he makes a very fascinating Cheshvan, that when it says Miketz Hayamim, at the end of days, they brought a carbon, that's when he got killed, Miketz Hayamim, he brought the carbon, his brother got jealous of him, he killed him. He says, you make a Cheshvan like this. There is, if he's born on the first day of Yom Tov, the Yom Tov is Tezvav Cheshvan, the 15th day of Cheshvan, so how many days do you have left in Cheshvan? 16 days. Because you count 16 days. You're counting the first day, you're counting the 15th, and then you go all the way to Lamet Tishrei, that's 16 days. Then you have 30 days in Cheshvan. So that gives you 30 plus 16. That gives you 40. Hold on. 30 plus 16. That gives you. Cheshvan, you're doing Chav Dalad. No, hold on. Wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You don't have 30. I made a mistake. You have 16 in Cheshvan. You don't have any in Cheshvan. You have 16 of Cheshvan. And then you have Kislev. I'm sorry. 24 days in Kislev. Because until Hanukkah, 24 days. 24 plus 16 is 40. Then you have 8 days of Hanukkah. So it's 40 plus 8 is 48 days. When Hanukkah was over, Miketz Hayamim, when Hanukkah was over, the next day, because we said earlier, Ketz Hayamim, the end of the special days. When Hanukkah was over, that's when he brought this carbon, which is the day after Hanukkah. On the last day of Hanukkah, Miketz Hayamim, at the end of it, the last day of Hanukkah. And the next day is when he killed him. And therefore, it's on the 49th day. And that's what we mean, that he was not alive more than 50 days, because he was killed on the 49th day. That comes out, according to that, he says, that Kayin killed Hevel on Gimel Teves, because the day after Hanukkah is over Beis Teves, a day after Hanukkah is Gimel Teves. Now, for 7 days, he says, for 7 days, the Rabbi Yonasan Eibshet says, Kayin was in Nidui. He was in Nidui means he was in Cherem, he was excommunicated. And I guess he takes that from somewhere. Hashem didn't talk to him. Only after the 7 days, that's when Hashem spoke to him and Hashem banished him. Which day is that? That's Asara B'Teves. On the 10th day of Teves, that's when Kayin was told, No v'nod ata ba'aretz. That's when the beginning of Golus began, from the first human being way back then. The Inyan of Golus begins on Asara B'Teves. Now, so this replayed itself many generations later. The Jewish people had the same sins as Cain and Hevel. Hatred, even murder, in the same way like in Yecheskel, it describes the sins of the people in the first base of Migdash. Shvichas damim, spilling of blood. So they needed to be exiled. So he says something really, really amazing. That when the Eibishter talks to Yecheskel HaNavi, and Hashem has a prophecy to Yecheskel telling him about the king of Bavel coming to lay siege, the nevuah that Hashem gave Yecheskel happens on Asara B'Teves itself. Let's see if I can find it over here. Hashem speaks to him on the day of Asara B'Teves. And Hashem tells him, Be'etzem, now Yecheskel was in Bavel, he wasn't in Eretz Yisrael. Oh. This is in Perek Chav Dalet. Vayid Dvar Hashem Elai Bashana Atishis, on the 9th year, B'chodesh Asiri, in the 10th month, B'asa L'chodesh Lemer. Ben Adam, son of man, K'soiv L'cha Hashem Ayoyma, write down this day, as Etzem Ayoyma Zeh, the essence of this day, Samach Melech Bavel Shirlayim, Be'etzem Ayoyma Zeh. In this day, The king of Bavel has surrounded Yerushalayim. Now, the king Yidden in Bavel didn't know about this because they were far away and there was no texting and there was no phone calls. There was no way to connect. But there was a nevuah coming to Yecheskel that on this day he was telling the Yidden in Bavel that the siege was laid in Yerushalayim. So Hashem says to him, whatever, this is going to, that about this prophecy, that this is happening. He says, why is Hashem saying Be'etzem Ayoyim Hazeh in this day, and especially to Yecheskel? So he says, he brings from the Arizal that Yecheskel is a Gilgal from Kayin. Yecheskel HaNavi is a Gilgal from Kayin. And that's why Hashem, whenever you go through the entire Sefer Yecheskel, which by the way is something we learned during the 3 weeks, because that's where it says the prophecies about the structure of the third Beis HaMikdash. In Sefer Yecheskel, whenever Hashem is talking to Yecheskel, he's always referring to him as Ben Adam. Ben Adam. Why? You go through Mamash, every Nevuah keeps on referring to him, Ben Adam, the son of man. You don't have that anywhere else. Because he is the son of Adam Arishan. And he was the one who killed his brother. And this was Be'etzem Hayoyim Hazeh. So Hashem is telling Yechezkel, Be'etzem Hayoyim Hazeh, in the midst of this day that we've already spoken about years earlier when we met last time in your previous incarnation. So in that time when you had that, I banished you then. So this is what's happening now. Very interesting. The reason why he brings, the reason why Cain killed Hevel was because Hevel, he was jealous that Cain was born with a twin girl, and he was married his twin girl, and Hevel was born with a double twin, two girls, and he had two wives, and he only had one. And Cain was jealous of Hevel because of his second Tu'uma. That's what it says in the Medrash. So, interesting, the next Nevuah after this, after the story about the Hashem tells Yechezkel, Ben Adam, son of man. Again, he's again talking to Cain, who's now incarnated in Yechezkel. Hineni loikeach memcha, I am taking from you, es machmad einecha, the desired of your eyes. Hashem is telling Yechezkel that his wife was going to die. Rashi says it means your machmad einecha, Rashi says ishtecha, your wife. She's going to die suddenly. And Yechezkel loved his wife very, very much, and he had a loss. And Hashem said, don't cry for her, don't eulogize, don't let your tears fall. And interesting, and the next, Vadaber al-Am, I spoke to the people, Baboiker, Vatamas Ishti Ba'arev, and my wife died in the evening. And I was told as Hashem told me to do. Why is he losing his wife? Because this wife was this second twin. She was the incarnation of the second twin that he took away from Hevel. And that's why it's called Machmad Einecha, the one that your eyes desired. You desired her, something that wasn't yours. Because of the sin of the Eitz Hadas, you desired her because you became very selfish and desired what's not yours. You became self-conscious. You wanted what's not. I'm taking her back from you. And this is together with the Nevuah, because that's what the rectification of the whole Golus is for thousands of years, is to clean out from the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, which begins on Asara B'Teves, which is the day very much that Cain killed Hevel, when the ugliness that entered into the venom, that entered into the human psyche, came to a full expression in the killing, when a brother killed a brother, when Cain killed Hevel. Now they had to go to Golus. That was the day Hashem decreed it to him. No, it wasn't the day he killed him. He killed him on Gimel Teves. But the day that the Tikkun begins is Asara B'Teves. Yidden are also going to Golus because of that. He loses his wife. And interesting, he says, the root of animosity and hatred, of course, began with the Eitz Hadas, because when he ate from the Eitz Hadas, as we said earlier, that's when the Eitz Hadas Toivara entered in, and that's what's causing the mess inside the human experience. So therefore, we have another prophecy, a very famous prophecy coming to Yechezkel, where Hashem, because again, Cain is the product of the Eitz Hadas. So Hashem tells now Cain through Yechezkel, Hashem says to him, Va'ata, now take two pieces of wood. Lekach shtei etzim, two pieces of wood. And on one of them you should write Lebeis Yehuda. And the other one you should write Lebeis Yosef. And you should take the two, this is the Haftarah of Parshas Vayigash. Take the two staffs, put them together and hold them together. They should become unified. What does that mean? The problem with the Eitz Hadas was, we learned earlier that Adam did not first eat from the Eitz Hachayim. If Adam would have first eaten from the Eitz Hachayim, and then he would have approached the Eitz Hadas, there would have not been any problem with the Eitz Hadas. He went the opposite order, he went through the Eitz Hadas first. The tikkun is that when Mashiach comes, the ultimate tikkun is the rectification of the Eitz Hadas through the Eitz Hachayim again. So for this reason, it's Yechezkel who was told, take the two pieces of wood, bring the two Eitzim together, the Eitz Hachayim and the Eitz Hadas, and unify them together. And he says like this, the Eitz Hachayim is the tree that's written upon it, Yehuda. It's representing the Malchus Beis David, the kingdom of David HaMelech. The second Eitz is the Eitz Hadas, is related to the Malchus. It was representing the kingdom of, we know the Jewish kingdom was split in half. There was the kings of the Jewish people, Malchus Yehuda and Malchus Yisrael, which were led by Yeravam ben Nevat, who was a descendant of Yosef. So now, they had to bring the two Eitzim together. So he says an interesting thing. He says, David HaMelech, Mashiach, and David HaMelech, they're related to the Eitz HaChayim. Yosef is related to the Eitz HaDas. Why? Because Yosef, it says about Yosef, there's a pasuk that says, Yosef Das, Yosef Machoiv. You add the Das, you add Machoiv, you add Eikel. The more you know, the more pain you have. What is the idea? That's the Eitz HaDas that brought pain. But you have Yosef over there. You know, in Chassidus it is discussed a lot that the Avodah of Yehuda is Bittul. The Avodah of Yehuda. Yehuda represents Bittul, Hoida, nullification. And that goes hand in hand with what we were learning earlier, that the Eitz HaChayim is there's no sense of self at all. Total Bittul. Total Chachma, Kayachma, Bittul, Betachlis. And that's what Yehuda represents. Total Bittul. Yosef is the opposite of Yehuda. Yosef represents development. There is a self over there. Yosef is, when you look at Yehuda and Yosef's life, you see that Yehuda, he championed Bittul. He doesn't come out in any way as a big, big tzaddik. He never sins with Tamar, but he's always being moide. He's taking responsibility. He owns up to his actions. He's saying tzatkom imen. He's willing to die. On the other hand, Yosef is full of charisma, full of. He's the ultimate of development, of a holy development. But there is a Yosef in Chassidus says it represents Talmud, and Yehuda is Maisa, action. Talmud is learning, development of self. So Yosef, and it's hinted to in the word Yosef. Yosef means Haisafa, to grow. Yehuda is Bittul, and when your essence is Bittul, when you have Eitz HaChayim, when your core is Bittul, then you can have development. If you have development without the Bittul, then Chas V'Shalom, you can grow into Eitz HaDas Toivara. Today you have knowledge of the good and you like the good. Tomorrow you have the knowledge of the bad and you like the bad. So Yosef on its own is dangerous. Yosef, together with Yehuda, is perfect. And when Mashiach will come, Yehuda will be mastered over Yosef. Yosef will be subservient to Yehuda. As it says, like it says in the story of Yechezkel, that the David Avdi Nasi Lahem La'olam, the David will be the Nasi. Now this Nevuah comes dafka to Yechezkel, because Yechezkel is, again, as we said before, the product of the Eitz HaDas, and he needs to bring that rectification of Yosef and Yehuda back together again. Unity in the Jewish people, unity in the world, and again, the perfect state of the Adam HaRishon before the Eitz HaDas, and actually making it to the Eitz HaChayim, and as a result of that, fixing and connecting the Eitz HaDas as well. So that is the story of Kayin and Hevel, and it's Tikkun. Be'ezus Hashem, next week, we shall continue Thursday learning in Yonah Gula Mashiach. Please tell your friends, get more and more people on the phone, especially now in the 3 weeks. We should have Mashiach now. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Hello? This is, I heard another shout. Someone was crying, shouting. There's ladies on the phone. It's a shir. You a zaychish milchayim to come to a ladies' shir only. These are the best shirim. I don't give the good shirim for the men.